Luke chapter 1, and for this morning, verses 46 to 56, as we finish out this particular section. We've studied about Zacharias, we've studied in Elizabeth, and how the miraculous way in which God intervened in their life to bring about the conception and the birth of John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, as it's literally translated. We saw the miraculous way in which God worked in Mary's life, in the fact that she was a virgin. She had not known a man, does not know a man at the time of the angelic visitation, and God's messenger ministering to her that she would conceive by the Holy Spirit. And of course, as we saw last week, 2 weeks ago, the expression of somebody in submission to the Lord is, "Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Behold your servant." This next section, this third section that we started last week, verses 39 to 45, the dialogue between Mary and Elizabeth. Because Mary was told that Elizabeth had conceived. So Mary rose up and went to Elizabeth's house. And when she entered in, she greeted Elizabeth, and the babe leaped in Elizabeth's womb. She's now 6 months along. And she pronounces blessing. I have to explain this. She pronounces blessing to or upon Mary as Elizabeth is talking. By blessing, eulogeo has to do with pronouncing a favorable expression of God upon one's life. She was recognizing God's blessing upon her. In fact, she ended off last week in verse 45 by saying blessed or blessed, and this is a different Greek word than she has been using up to this time. Blessed is she or the one who has believed that there will be a fulfillment of the things which have been spoken to her from the Lord. And so, Makarios is this word for blessed or blessed. And it means to experience the fullness of something. So she's saying that Mary, because she has believed the things which have been spoken to her from the Lord, that she will experience all the fullness of who God is. Now, it doesn't mean that God will not work in a person's life if they don't believe it. We've seen it from Zacharias. If you're not going to believe God's word and be in submission to God's word, God is going to deal with us and discipline us. Rather than experiencing all the fullness of the peace and the joy that he has for us, he will discipline us. Zacharias, for that 9 months that he was silent and unable to speak, was not exactly filled with the peace and the joy of the Lord. He was under discipline for 9 months because he could not believe that the angelic announcement was God's word, and so he wanted a sign. He got a sign. Now today, that was Elizabeth's pronouncement of blessing upon Mary, but today we have Mary's response to Elizabeth, verses 46 to 55, and then verse 56, she returns home. But this is what is called the Magnificat of Mary. In theological scriptural terms, verses 46 to 55 is called the Magnificat of Mary. It's the word for magnify. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Reading to you, beginning at verse 46. "And Mary said, 'My soul is magnifying the Lord, and my spirit exalted upon God my Savior.'" Those of you following along in the literal text, notice "the God, the Savior of me." It's in the attributive position. She is calling the Savior her God, and she's calling God the Savior. Beautiful expression in Greek of the deity of Jesus Christ. and my spirit exalted upon God my Savior, because he looked upon the lowliness of his bond slave or servant. For behold, from now on, all generations shall consider me blessed. That's Makarios. Because the Mighty One did great things to me, and holy is his name, and his mercy unto generations of generations to the ones who are fearing him. He produced strength in his arm. He scattered proud ones with respect to the thoughts of their hearts. He pulled down mighty from the thrones, and he exalted humble ones. He filled thirsty ones with good things, and he sent out rich ones empty. He helped Israel, his servant, to remember mercy, according as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed, unto the generation. And Mary, Mariam, the formal Greek word for the word for Mary, and Mary remained with her for about 3 months, and she returned unto her house. It's called the Magnificat of Mary, because she says, my soul magnifies. That's the designation for the Greek word, magaluno, to magnify, or to make someone great. Magas is the word for great, and that's the root word from which it comes. She says two things in verses 46 and 47. She says, first of all, about her soul. My soul magnifies or makes great the Lord. Same word used by Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, where he says that he is not ashamed of the things of Christ, but he steps out in boldness. He says, so that the Lord may be magnified in his body, whether it's in life or in death, may Christ be magnified in my body. So may the greatness of the Lord, of all that he is, may he be magnified in my life, whether life or death, Paul said. So first of all, in this whole scenario, notice the various principles of humbleness. Notice the character of Mary as to why she responded earlier to the fact when she said, behold, your servant may be to me according to your word. It all has to do with her realization of her lowliness, not unworthiness, but her lowliness, in the sense of, why choose me? I'm not any kind of religious giant or theologian. I'm not anything special or important. I'm just the average girl. And she is magnifying God. She's, my soul magnifies, that is, exhibits the greatness of God. In verse 47, she says, my spirit exalted God my Savior. Again, emphasizing the fact that in the original language, she is bringing out the fact that God is her Savior, that her Savior is God. Also, the second fact about this, please notice that she's expressing her need of a Savior, that God is her Savior. She needed to be saved. So her soul magnifies the Lord, and her spirit exalts, or exalted in God, upon God my Savior. The reason, verse 48, because of the word because he looked upon my lowliness, that is the lowliness of his bondslave or servant. Very important word in Greek. Comes from the root word tapenos. It's the opposite of the word pride. The word pride in Greek means to be self-centered or centered on self. Humbleness and lowliness means, from a spiritual, scriptural standpoint, it means to realize one's need for Christ. In other words, John 15:5, without him I cannot do one thing. That's realizing my spiritual bankruptcy, my spiritual poverty, and the fact that without him I cannot do one thing. That's what she's saying. She says, he has looked upon the lowliness of his bond slave, and so she is expressing her own lack of capacity, lack of ability, and the fact that her soul magnifies the Lord, her spirit exalts in God her Savior, because he looked upon her lowliness, not upon her religiousness, not upon her holiness, not upon her greatness, but upon her lowliness. Hold your place, please, and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. This is very important. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 5, Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 is finishing up this section concerning. Concerning submission to one another. But he says, actually, in verse 5, or verse 6, be humbled, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Notice I said, be humbled. It's a passive voice, which means submit to the humbling process. Be humbled under the mighty hand of God. People take it in English, from an English standpoint, is that we are to humble ourselves. Be humble under the mighty hand of God. It's a passive voice, which means we are the recipient of the humbling process. It literally means submit to being humbled. Passive voice means it's happening to you. You're not doing it to yourself. Be humbled, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And if you look up here, this is basically what it's saying. It's saying the mighty hand of God is doing this to us. It's constantly humbling us. It's constantly pushing us down through trials and tribulations of life, pushing us down and making us lowly, so that we have to come to him for grace. Because look what he says. If I can find my verse.
And this is one where it's in verse 6, where it's passive and middle voice are the same.
No, this is aorist passive. It is not. Theta eta is the aorist, and so it's not the same.
It's not middle voice at all.
No, not at all. It's aorist passive because of the theta eta.
There was another text we were looking at that where we talked about it, Mark and I talked
sure.
about it, that there was something else about humbling that the passive and the aorist were not the tense, the voice,
middle and passive.
Because I know a lot of the verbs where the passive and the voice is the same anyway. Yeah. You got to look at context.
But aorist passive is only one.
Okay. In which way the CBL leans more? Is it when you look at it?
Middle.
Passive, it leans more towards middle?
Yes.
Okay.
Always middle. It doesn't bring out the passive because it has to make a distinction and they don't like to make distinctions. Yes.
Okay.
But aorist passive, there's no confusion with aorist passive because there's only one way to translate an aorist passive.
Okay.
So be humbled, therefore, under the mighty hand of God in order that he might exalt you in time, casting all of your cares. The word for cares here in verse 7 is the word manao, casting all of the things that occupy the attention of your mind, casting them upon him because he is concerned for you. Be sober and be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, is walking around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I skipped in verse 5. He's talked about being humble-minded towards one another, be clothed with one another, because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 3:34, quoted a couple of times in the New Testament. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, be humbled. Submit to God's humbling process under the mighty hand of God. That's very important to see. Is that God says, my grace can only help the people who are down low. who are brought low, that realize their need for Christ. That's the only way God's grace can help us. So what he does, he says, because you are proud, because you are self-centered, you rely on your own resources, you do your own thing, therefore I am going to bring trials and tribulations in your life that are going to break you and bring you down low to the point that you're coming to the Lord saying, Lord, I can't do this. Lord, I need your help. Of course, we always do, but we don't have that realization because we're so self-sufficient. See? So here's the word tapenos. God resists the proud but gives grace to the tapenos. Verse 7, he says, then be humbled. Be brought to the tapenos process under the mighty hand of God. So submit to the hardships of life. This is God breaking us and bringing us down low. Very important. Back to Luke chapter 1, where Mary says in verse 48, the reason why her soul magnifies the Lord, the reason why her spirit exults in God her Savior, is because he has looked upon the lowliness of his bondslave. Same word she used before when she said, behold the bondslave or servant of the Lord. She was a servant of God. And she says, the only reason that God has looked upon me is because of my lowliness. She says, I can't believe this. I'm just a teenage girl. Not a priest, not anybody great, but God has magnified himself in me and to me and through me. And I exalt in him because of it's my lowliness. I'm lowly. It's God who is doing the great things. And then she says in verse 48 that all generations will consider her blessed. That's Makarios. In other words, in our generation, we look back and we say Mary experienced all the fullness of Christ. Just by the way she is expressing herself. In verse 49, the reason why all generations will consider her blessed. Notice the word because in verse 49. Actually, three things going through verse 50. The Mighty One has done great things to me. She's considering God, her Savior, to be the Mighty One, and he has done the great things. Megalos, from Megas, again from Megaluno. All of these words have to do with magnify and making someone great. God has produced, the Mighty One has done great things for me. Secondly, and holy is his name. Thirdly, verse 50. And his mercy, this is the third thing, his mercy is unto generations of generations, qualifying statement, to those who are fearing him. That's a present participle. So to all the people down through the generations, she is saying God's mercy is upon all of those people who are fearing him. This is not fearing as far as being afraid, but fear as far as respect. She's showing that that's a characteristic of her too. She fears the Lord. She respects the Lord. His name is holy. He is the Mighty One. He is the Great One. She is the Lowly One. Everything that is done is the greatness of God that's being magnified in her and through her. Three characteristics of God that she has learned about herself and coming in contact with God's Spirit and the angel in his pronunciation. The first characteristic of God in verse 51. That God has produced strength in his arm. He scattered the proud with reference to the thoughts of his hearts. The word thoughts, dianoia, from dia and nous, the perceptive processes that pass through the mind. A proud person is somebody who uplifts himself with his own thoughts, with his own perceptions. It isn't God's thoughts, it isn't God's perceptions at all, it's his own thoughts and it's his own perceptions. So the first characteristic about God that she sees is that he produced strength in his arm in order to scatter proud people. Again, going back to Proverbs 3:34, is that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. The person uplifts himself or herself. If a person is self-sufficient, God will scatter the proud. Secondly, verse 52, he brought down mighty ones from their thrones, and he has exalted humble ones. Here's our word topeinos again. Here's Mary saying, I'm a teenage girl, and here's what I know about God. With strength in his arm, he scatters people who are proud. Here's the second thing I notice about him as a teenage girl, she is saying. That he brings down mighty ones from their thrones and he exalts humble ones. That's exactly what 1 Peter 5 was saying. It's exactly what Proverbs 3:34 is saying. She says, me, who am I? God chooses those who fear him. God chooses the lowly. So that God might magnify himself and make himself great in someone's life. But even in her knowledge of God, the second characteristic about God that she learned was that God is the mighty one, and he brings down these mighty people from their thrones, and he exalts lowly people. Remember Joseph in the Old Testament. Remember his brothers sold him into slavery because God was giving him visions. God was pronouncing his blessing upon him, so his brothers sold him into slavery. He wound up in Egypt, wound up in prison for things that he was accused of doing and didn't do. All the way down the road, he was suffering from just relaying the truth of God. And even in prison, when the butler and baker, he gave them the answers to their dreams and to their visions, and even they forgot him in prison when they got out. Until one day, Pharaoh had a dream. And then they remembered this one in prison who could interpret dreams. Brought Joseph out. He interpreted the dream. Pharaoh put him under him in authority over Egypt. What a great story. And especially after his brothers come back, there's a famine in the land, and his brothers come to Egypt not knowing they're going to face their brother that they sold into slavery. They thought they'd get rid of him. But as they're standing in front of him and as he reveals himself to them and they're afraid, he says, don't be afraid. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That's very important. People can do things in an evil way and God works it out for the purposes of good. Here's Joseph. Who is Joseph, anybody? Just a young boy with older brothers. And he's expressing to them that God has laid upon these different visions and dreams upon his heart. They are going to bow down to him and be in submission to him. Oh, yeah? So he goes through a process of years of slavery and hardship just for following the Lord, just for being obedient. He suffered the same fate as those who commit the crimes and sins that he suffered for. But what happened? God exalted him in the end. God exalted him in the end and took a nobody, took a young boy who suffered for years and exalted him second in command in Egypt. Did he retaliate against his brothers? No. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for the good. Perfect example of taking someone who is lowly. Look at David, the choosing of David. And his brothers. David was the youngest, the one that man would not choose. But God chose him because he was the youngest, and because of human abilities and talents, according to the human logic, he would not be the one. God chose him because it's God's greatness and his might and his power that works through people, not the greatness and the abilities of the people. He doesn't choose us because of our talents. He doesn't ask us to use our talents for the Lord. He chooses lowly people fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul said that. Notice your calling, brethren, that not many mighty, not many well-born are called. But God has chosen the weak things of the world. God has chosen the nobodies to use. That's us. We're the nobodies. We're the ones the world would say, you just can't make it. God says, I'm going to choose you and call you and fill you with my Spirit so that my Spirit might magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in your body. It's like Paul. There's life or death. May Christ be magnified in my body. Philippians 1:20. So, the second thing is that he brings down mighty ones and he exalts humble ones. That's God's way of doing things. Thirdly, verse 53, he fills hungering ones. The word for hunger is a participle. People who continually hunger for good things. The word good in verse 53 is the word agathos. It's the good of spiritual things, not human or physical things. Kalos would be human things. Agathos would be good things. He fills us with the good things of the Lord, spiritual things. And the ones who are continually hungering. And yet the ones who are continually, he casts out the ones who are continually hungering for riches, he casts them out empty. So just the opposite of what man, in his logic and reason, would think. The greatest characteristic of a person's life is to be hungry for the things of the Lord. And that's produced, as we saw last week, based on a realization of our spiritual poverty. That's humbleness. That's lowliness. I am not a great one. I am a lowly one. Without him, I cannot do one thing. Verse 54, four things. I told you there were three. There's actually four things about the characteristic of God. In verse 54, he says, he helped Israel, his servant, to remember mercy. God helps people to remember mercy. By choosing Mary, he's shown it is by his mercy he chooses the lowly. He chooses to have mercy on people. And it's the lowly people that he chooses to have mercy on. Verse 55 says, he reminds them according as he spoke to the fathers and to Abraham and to his seed for the generation, that is, unto the generation of the Jewish people. According as God spoke and made promise to Abraham and to his seed. This is the basis for the statement when he says that he helped Israel to remember mercy. God always has to help to remind people it's based on his mercy and not on works, based on his grace, not of works. That God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble, to the lowly. Not to the person who says, woe is me. I want to make that clear. Humbleness does not mean low self-esteem. Humbleness does not mean me constantly dwelling on or expressing how rotten I am. Even though that might be true, any self-centeredness is pride. Low self-esteem is pride when a person exhibits or expresses their the negative part about them, how they see themselves in a negative way. A person that says, I'm rotten, I'm no good, I don't deserve to be a Christian, I'm not a very good Christian, that is a person with low self-esteem. A person with high self-esteem would say, well, God has done you a favor by choosing me. You know, I've got some great talents that I want to dedicate to the Lord, just uplifting yourself. Whether it's high self-esteem or low self-esteem, that's still pride. Anything that has to do with centering on self, whether it's low or high, is pride. Humbleness is just the realization of one's need for Christ. Without him, I cannot do one thing. Now, that's a point-blank statement. That was the realization of the poverty of my spirit. I do not have the spiritual ability to do anything without the Spirit of God, without Christ helping me or doing it through me. That's just a statement of fact. God does not want me to produce His Word or His works with my human effort. That's pride. But realizing that He must do it through me, realizing that He has chosen me not because of what benefit I can make for Him, but because of my lowliness, He saw the lowliness of my spiritual condition, and He had mercy upon me. Took somebody who was and is a nobody, and said, "I'm going to use you for my glory." That's the way God works. The four characteristics of how about God that Mary realized. Verse 56. But she remained with Mary, with Elizabeth, for about 3 months. So that makes it her ninth month for Elizabeth. She's about ready to give birth, and Mary returns home. That is the Magnificat of Mary, the dialogue between Elizabeth and Mary, both exhibiting the fact that it is God's favorable expression to experience the blessing or the fullness of the Lord. And this happens to those who are lowly. God works mightily in the lives of lowly people, and for those who are not humbled and lowly, for those who uplift themselves and rely on their own human resources and look at themselves with self-centeredness, high self-esteem, low self-esteem, God brings those people down. We dictate to Him how He must deal with us. If we think we don't need the Lord, we don't need to obey Him, He deals with us in a very hard way. It's all out of His love. Because He wants to bring us low so that we're broken and we come to Him and we're able to receive the grace and help in time of need. He can't help the proud, only the lowly. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for another hour with You, another time with You in Your Word. Thank You for the blessing of Your Spirit that magnifies the Lord to us, in us, and through us. Indeed, may our soul magnify the Lord, and may our spirit exalt in God our Savior, because He too, with us, has considered and looked upon our lowly condition in order to fill us with His Spirit, to do great things for us and to us. Thank You for all the great things that You're doing in us and all the great things You're doing through us. May our Lord Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, be glorified in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.